We'll put this message on the internet just as a way of lengthening our tent stakes.
Yes.
Amen.
This ain't home. Don't drive your tent stakes too far down, but
right.
We do need to try to take in as much ground as we can
right.
while we're here.
Amen.
Appreciate the Sunday school lesson, our brother Randy. Randy done a good job teaching out of Ephesians
Amen.
Chapter 5. And you know what? That's what we need to do. We need to apply that word to our lives.
Right.
We're not supposed to be hearers only. We're supposed to be doers. He done a good job teaching this morning. I commend you, Brother Randy, and a good job teaching this morning. We'll take our text this morning out of Luke chapter 12. He mentioned about the King James Bible, but I'll tell you what, it don't get no better than that.
That's right.
And let me comment just a little bit with regard to that King James Bible. I appreciate him mentioning that. That goes a long way with me. But in the King James Bible, you may not know about this, but in the King James Bible, Savior is spelt with 7 letters. Mm-hmm. In other Bibles, it's spelt with 6. Here's the difference. If you get your Webster dictionary out and you look up the word Savior, it's got 2 definitions. Mm-hmm. One of them is with a 6 letter. And it's someone that rescues someone. And I have been rescued. I was drowning one time and a guy pulled me out. If he hadn't, I'd have drowned it. But with 7 letters, the definition is someone that redeems someone. He didn't just rescue me. He redeemed me.
Amen.
That means he paid the price thereof and said, go free, you're free indeed. And old song says, redeem, redeem, redeem. I am so glad I am redeemed. So there's a difference in those 2 words, even though they sound alike. And in many ways spelt close to alike. Need that 7 letter Savior. I appreciate that. Amen. Let me say it's an honor. And I'm humbled to stand before you here this morning. I'm just a little preacher. I have no boast at all in me. My boast is in my Savior. But I passed by a lot of churches on the way up here, and I entertained this thought as I passed them by. I thought, you know, you could stop at anywhere up through here, you know, and worship the Lord. But I'm glad that I was led and directed to be here this morning. And I'm kind of like Brother Randy. He said that he wanted to be where God would have him to be, and that's what I feel like this morning. I feel like I'm where God would have me to be. We're going to read quite a bit of Scripture this morning. And the reason I'm going to do that is, for one thing, get you a little Bible there under your belt. But another thing is, I want to get as much into this as I can. So we're going to start in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 12. We're going to read all the way to verse number 21. And I've had some correspondence on the internet. Let me throw this in there real quick. This morning, a lot of sarcasm, but I don't have no problem with that. I was just as bad as the man, I don't know whether he's young or old, because you don't know. As this man responded to me, I was as sarcastic as he was until I met Jesus Christ, and I conferred no more with flesh and blood. I have to admit, I would probably, the same argument would have been prevalent with me. But kind of like Brother Randy this morning, we've been brought into the light. We're children of light. I want no more in darkness. And I would like to see this man introduced to the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. But we'll start our reading verse number 12. He says, chapter number 12 of Luke. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, I'm in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which he has spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues, and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer, or what thing or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And this is our text verse, verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasures for him, or layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. I want to preach this morning on how rich are you, and I desire your prayers this morning.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the incorruptible, inspired, infallible Word of God.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray, dear Father God, this morning you'll take your Word and direct it. Lord, you'll, with your Word, I pray, Father, give us, Lord, instruction. With your Word, Lord, I pray you'll help us, Lord, today. Lord, we're in need, not of what the world offers, but we're in need of the things of God. Lord, the world chases after things, and Lord, they're empty. And Lord, you take the empty and you make it full. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Confess ourselves to be but a vessel that you put your treasure in, and value was added because we was worth nothing until you added that precious blessing of having Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in Jesus' name, we ask your help today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How rich are you? A lot of people think about riches a lot of different ways. If you'll notice in verse number 21, two riches are mentioned. One's rich in himself, and one is rich in God. Two riches mentioned. Yeah, in Matthew chapter 6, and let me read that, because I would fail at trying to quote this much scripture for sure, and fail most of the time at even trying to quote anything anyway. But in Matthew chapter 6, let me read also verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Right.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yes.
And two types of treasures, earthly treasures and heavenly treasures.
Right.
The Bible mentions also in Mark chapter 8 verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Right.
Now Peter, James, and John went into the temple, and an impotent man laid there begging for alms, and looked upon them like to receive something from them. And Peter, about like me and every Baptist preacher, looked not upon us. He said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give in the name of Jesus. Even though he had no silver and gold, he still had something he could give. And he took him by the hand, and he raised him up, and he went in the temple leaping and praising God.
Amen.
That's the difference of what I'm talking about here. Now, there's a woman in the Bible. She had an issue of blood. She suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all she had, doing nothing better, rather worse. And I don't know how in the world she got directed to Jesus, but somehow she thought within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she made her way through the throne of people following Jesus. And when she touched the hem of his garment, glory to God, she was made whole of that plague.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, he has something to offer that money can't buy. Amen. And I'd rather be rich in God and poor in this world. And I want you to know, when God met me, I was in my poverty, but he made me rich in the things of God. Amen. The psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Psalms 40 verse 17 is one of my favorite verses. I know God's always thinking on me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I don't have to worry about God thinking about me. I know what my checkbook says. I know what my billboard says. I'm poor and needy. If the Lord thinketh on me, that's a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad God's thoughts toward me are good and not evil to give us an expected end. Jeremiah says, I don't know about y'all, but I expect to be in heaven one day.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Amen.
The Bible said if we have hope in this life only in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. I've met a lot of miserable people.
Amen.
And the reason they're miserable is because they had the attitude that they'd helped themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, by their own means, they'd made themselves the man they were, whatever. I tell you what, I come to this world with nothing, but I'm leaving with everything.
Amen.
A lot of people come to this world with nothing, Sister Carolyn, and they're leaving with nothing.
Right.
That's a sad commentary.
Right.
And you know, every one of us, the Bible said, every one is going to stand before God and give an account. Every one of us.
Amen.
I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. And you know what? I've got that permission, thanks to the blood stained over the rugged cross.
Yeah.
We've been accepted into the beloved. And thanks to the blood that stained over the rugged cross, we're in the family of God. And we want to preach about that a little bit this morning, about the riches of God. This morning, I looked up on the internet just so I could be accurate. But this morning on the internet, gold is $1,305.60 an ounce. Now, that's important. And here we have treasures. And some people get caught up in them. You can ask Achan about it. He sought the wrong treasure. But anyway, there was a man. He was 69 years old. His name was Walter Samsko. I can't actually say his last name. Samsko. He lived in Nevada, and he had laid up over $8 million in gold alone. He died September the 18th, 2012. He'd been dead for over a month before they found him, and he had no family except for a distant cousin. He lived alone. He never went to the doctor. He was anti-government. Not only did he die alone, but he had put $200 in the bank. He had $165,000 in stocks. He had $12,000 in cash in his home. But let me ask you this. How rich was he?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
He wasn't.
Right. I'm pretty sure there wasn't a U-Haul.
No.
You see, he piled all that up.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a neighbor. Mm-mm. Brother Randy mentioned about helping some people. Mm-hmm. He said, we're trying to help them. He said, they can't help themselves. They don't have common sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's rich, Brother Randy. Mm-hmm. That's rich. Mm-hmm. You see, well, that's something we can do. We can help someone.
Right.
I was down in Nashville yesterday, and I didn't want to be down there. Actually, a guy gave me a line. He said he lived in Goodlettsville, and I was dumb enough to go to Goodlettsville and call him. He said, no, I'm on exit 81. That's on the other side of Nashville. And I went through that thing like being flushed through a toilet. But anyway, I got on the other side. We sitting there just this Exxon filling station waiting for this guy to show up. And my buddy with me, he got out. That's not a good place to get out. He got out right there in Nashville. And here come a black guy telling him, I went over. I thought he's going to get killed right here in front of me. I went over to this black guy. He said, I need some money. And I went over and I talked to this black guy. And I said, young man, I said, you know the Lord? He said, I'm crooked. I said, buddy, we're all crooked. But I said, he makes crooked straight. And he talked about having a drinking problem. I said, I had a drinking problem. God took care of it. I said, he can take care of yours.
Right.
But anyway, I did give him. He said, can you give me $2? It was worth $2 just telling him about Jesus. But you know what? Well, we can help people. I didn't help him.
Amen.
But I did get him the truth. I did tell him the truth.
Yeah.
I don't even care about the $2. I'm just glad that we can share the good news, the gospel, the good news. We can share it. That young man may not ever get saved, but I'll tell you one thing he can't do. He can't say to me, you never told me.
Right.
I don't have his blood on my hands. I prayed for him. I done what I could. It wasn't like a church service. I just told him about the Lord. I pointed him in the right direction. I told him he could be forgiven. He could be saved. Whether he does or whether he don't. But this man here, the world will look upon this man. And, down here we got treasures we can lay up. This man had some treasures laid up. And the world will probably look upon this man and they'd say this man had success. He'd accumulated $8 million in gold alone. Actually, it's worth more than it because some of these coins were collectible coins. But he had $8 million just in gold, in weight. I mean, 135 pounds of gold. He'd bring it in wheelbarrows. But he had collected $8 million in gold alone. He had $165,000 in stocks. He had $12,000 in cash. He had $200 in the bank because he didn't trust the bank. But as the world would look upon this man, they would say this man had some degree of success. But he put his treasures in the wrong thing. You know what? He'll leave all that behind.
Right.
Brother Ed.
Yeah.
They found out this man had a distant cousin. Her phone never been disconnected. But he got a hold of her. And they told her she just inherited $7 million. You know what she said? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but I'll tell you one thing. She gave God the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know what? He could have done the same thing. He could have found it. He could have said, hey sis, I want to give you something. He could have done something.
Right.
Yes, he could.
Do you know what he did?
Amen.
He left it behind. The government took $800,000. I mean, you know, Uncle Sam got to get his part.
Yeah, that's right.
And they took his house and property and confiscated it. But the money, they couldn't take it all. They got as much as they could. And they found this lady. She's 61 years old. All she could get out was, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Amen.
You know what? That man, one day, he's going to stand before God. And he's going to realize he missed out on the true treasures. The Bible mentioned Luke chapter 16 about the true treasures. That lady's name was Arlene. I can't say their names. They both got weird names. But all she could reply was, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Now there are treasures to lay up and there are treasures to seek. There's a man, his name's Forrest Flynn. He's 82 years old. He's a multimillionaire. He's a kind of eccentric kind of guy. He took a gold chest and he put $7 million worth of artifacts, gold, diamonds, jewels in this treasure chest, and he hid it, and he wrote a poem with 9 clues where to find this chest. And if you find it, you can have it. 3 people have already lost their lives seeking this treasure. One of them was a pastor of a church. That really bothered me.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I'm sitting there thinking, buddy, he needs to read a little bit of the Bible. The Bible talks about finding the treasure hidden in the field. Go sell all you got and buy the field. But, you know, he's seeking the wrong treasure there.
That's
I'm sure maybe his motive was, I'll find that and I'll put it in the church and, man, we'll buy many acres and all that. But you know what? After I found Jesus, I'm not seeking no more.
No, that's right.
I just want more of him.
That's right.
Man, I'm already rich enough.
That's right.
Amen. I heard this on the radio. Let me throw this out there to you all so y'all have an idea what I mean by I'm already rich enough. I was coming home from work one day and I heard this radio program. All I listen to is Christian radio. But they said Arnold Palmer played golf in Arabia. This is a true story. And the king of Arabia came out to Arnold Palmer to watch him play. And the king of Arabia was impressed watching Arnold Palmer play golf. And he had him brought before him. And Arnold Palmer went there and stood before the king of Arabia. And the king of Arabia told Arnold Palmer, he said, I really enjoy watching him play golf today. And he said, I'd like to give you a present. And Arnold Palmer said, King, I appreciate you offering me a present. He says, it's what I do for a living. I'd give you nothing. I enjoy doing this. This is what I've done all my life. The king insisted. He said, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer said, but you don't understand, King. I don't need nothing. I appreciate you offering me a gift. He said, I insist. Now, this is the king of Arabia wanting to give Arnold Palmer a gift. So Arnold Palmer, like you and me, said, okay, King, you want to give me a gift? Just give me a golf club. That'll be fine. Well, the king of Arabia gave Arnold Palmer a golf club. Now, this was 25 years ago. I heard this. Maybe even further back than that. He gave him a $6 million golf club with a swimming pool, 18 holes, and a motel. Because a king does not give a small gift. It's a reflection upon him.
Amen.
Now, the king of kings is going to give out gifts. I think that's the reason we're going to have a mansion when we get to heaven, because I ain't staying in mine. I'm being anywhere he is. But I think that's there. Maybe if we got any reward, we'll have somewhere to put it so I have to pack it around with us.
Right.
I don't know. I don't really understand all that about that. I just know one day I'm going to kick up gold dust. Amen. But this man here, he put this out there for anybody. Anyone. Anybody here. Anybody anywhere.
Right.
Go find this treasure. Miss the true treasure. Maybe even lose your life.
That's right. Amen.
What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul?
Right.
I don't know if the pastor's saved. All the one I know for sure is me. I hear y'all's testimony. I ain't got no problem with any of it. But only one that I can say for sure that I know I'm saved. Paul said, he knew it who he had believed. He persuades them to keep that which he committed them against that day. That's the only one I can say for sure. Now, my wife, I don't doubt her. But I can't say she's saved. She's got to say she's saved.
That's right.
I mean, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I'm telling you, buddy, there are treasures to lay up. There are treasures to seek. And this man here says, you can have this if you go out and find it. He offers it. Not only would it be a fortune to find it, but you'd be famous if you found it.
Amen.
That's not what it's all about, friend.
Yes, it is.
Right.
You know what? You can have, if you want that treasure, you got my blessing. If you can find it, go get it. I'm staying with this pearl of great price.
That's right. Amen.
I'm already satisfied. You know, when I got saved, next year will be 30 years, April 27, 1988. I got saved. And I remember I took all of my Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Steppenwolf and Rolling Stones and all that bunch of garbage. I mean, my hair down here, I got me a haircut. I ain't got no hair good now. But anyway, I took all that up there in the yard out there, and I piled all that all up there, Brother Ed, and I'm getting ready to throw gasoline on it, put a match on it. My dad came over and said, no, don't burn that. Let me sell it. I said, no, Dad, you don't understand. I want to burn it.
Right.
I'm giving an offering to God. I want to know I'm not interested in this no more.
Yeah.
I'm seeking better things.
That's right.
I'm telling you, buddy, I got better things.
Right.
This is no more. This is burning the bridge kind of, I mean. And I burned down. I got blessed. Dad's over there. And busting my alabaster box. Right. I'm saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You saved me out of many troubles. You, you bailed me out. You come and you took me out and set my feet on a rock. I'm giving an offering to God, a testimony that I don't need this no more. I'll tell you what, buddy. Randy mentioned this morning also in a Sunday school lesson about fruit. We need to have the right fruit.
Yes, that's right.
And people are going to see your fruit. You ought to have the right fruit.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody ought to see you with a Bible head in the house of God on Sunday. You want scripture for that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25.
Yeah.
Now forsaking some of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. A lot of people leave this part out. But exhorting one another.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
It encourages me to see you here.
Yeah,
I ought to be encouragement to you.
Yeah.
Right. Exhorting one another.
Yeah.
If that's not enough, Carolyn, and so much the more. As we see that day approach, we need to be in more.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we need to be more.
Right.
I don't know where the line is when we say that's enough. I'm telling you, buddy, he's worthy of receiving. We're not, but he is. He's worthy of receiving the reward of his suffering. He may not ever get it, but he's worthy to receive the reward of his suffering. Glory to God.
Amen.
There are treasures to lay up. There are treasures to seek. And there are treasures to obtain. Some men chase after gold. And some men chase after God.
That's right. Amen.
Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 says, as the hart panteth after the brook, my soul panteth after God. It said in verse 2, my soul thirsteth after living God. You know, you can find out a lot about a man by what he really, what he loves, what he wants to spend the most time with.
Right.
I tried to find this verse while Randy's teaching this morning, but one place there in the Bible, Jesus, he said, why say you love me, and do not the things that I say. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
That you may prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God.
Amen.
I'll tell you how to renew your mind. You get that old Bible out. Brother Ed, I come here this morning, he's reading his Bible, he's renewing his mind.
Yeah,
he said, read in Ecclesiastes. Amen. I like that Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yeah.
Fear God and keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm telling you, buddy. I want to renew my mind. I'm telling you, I want to know more. Whole song. I want to know more about my Lord. Oh, yes, I do. But listen, some men chase after gold, and some men chase after God. And God, the Bible said, is a rewarder of those that seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Listen, I was coming home one day from work, and I had a terrible day. And you know what happened too? We all do. This ain't home. Oh man, the devil. Them seven sons of Sceva, they kept three upon themselves, cast the devil out of a man. And the devil said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I want to get on that list. I want to say, Eddie I know, Paul I know, and Jesus I know you. But even with the devil, he knows where you live.
Right.
He knows how to trip you up, how to trouble you at night, wake you up. Like Job said, a spirit passed by and his hair stood on end. The devil wants to somehow trip you up and trouble you and get you all worried and all that right there. The Bible says perfect love casts without fear. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. The devil wants to try to work you out. Anyway, I had a terrible day at work. I'm driving home and I'm pretty whooped. Tail kind of between my legs, and as I'm driving home, this lady calls in this radio program. Man, I need this. Carolyn, she called in. She said, I'm a millionaire several times over. And I thought, oh man, I wish I was a millionaire several times over. And then she said, I'll give every penny of it, Sharon, for just one night's peace. She said, I ain't got no peace. And I thought, I'm rich, and I thought I was. Amen. I mean, I got peace and past understanding. I got oceans of peace. And I'm sitting there realizing just how rich I am. And all of a sudden, glory to God, I forgot all about them little old light afflictions. I forgot all about them little old troubles. And I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day. I'm telling you, glory. around. I tell you what, I ain't got over it. My mama called me fanatic, and still am. I never got over what he done for me.
Amen. That's
right.
Amen.
Some of the worst make some of the best. I mean, the one that the world gives up on, the one that the world says no hope for them, that's the very one.
That's right.
That God, my pastor told me one time, he was pumping gas. He said, this man walked by us, he was pumping gas. He said, God spoke to him and he said, I'm interested in him. Rick said, I wasn't interested in him until God said that. So I went over and said, buddy, I just want you to know God loves you. He told me to tell you that. You know, God's interested.
Right.
He's interested.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
We got to get interested.
That's right.
We got to learn how to tell people about the true treasures. We got to get them to it. We got to let them find that joy unspeakable that had a pace that passed understanding. But that woman called in and she let me know just how rich I was. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 said, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And I say glory to God.
Yeah.
This is all there is to it. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we're going to die. But that Queen Sheba, she made a long journey. She heard about the fame of Solomon. Jesus said, a greater Solomon's here. But when she made that long journey, and she come and saw Solomon, she saw how his servants conducted themselves. She saw as he went up to the house of God. I'm just going to guess he went up like this. She said,
amen.
She said, I didn't believe the report until I came and saw it for myself. And she said, how did the hash not been told?
Yeah.
I tell you what, buddy, yeah. If there was people who would be happy, we'll be happy.
Amen.
I come this war with nothing, I'm leaving with everything.
Right.
I tell you what, buddy, when they read my will, it'll say, being a sound minded body, I'll spend it all. I ain't leaving nothing behind. I'll leave mine up ahead. I'm telling you, I got a little daughter up there, 17 years old, and God called her home, and we're going to meet on a better shore, on a better day, and you're never going to see such a neck hugging in all your life. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you, for instance, about how rich we are. Our youngest granddaughter, she's probably 5 or 6, just a little tender plant. Oh, we love her. Oh, boy. They don't call them grand for nothing. They cost a grand and something. But they're worth their opinion.
Yeah.
But we just get her like 2 or 3 days a week. And her and my wife had just left. And I went in her bathroom to use the bathroom. I thought this done gone. And I hadn't been there 2 minutes. Pop! You in there? Yeah, honey. Yeah, I'm in here. How long are you going to be? I said, just a few minutes, honey. 3 seconds. Ha! How much longer? I said, just a couple minutes, honey. Man, we got 2 bathrooms. I was thinking, what's the big deal? And then she... She knocked again. I got kind of mad, right? I'm sitting there thinking, we got 2 bathrooms. Why can't you just go to the bathroom? Open that bathroom door. She stuck 2 little bony arms up, hugged my neck, kissed me. She said, Papa, I just wanted to kiss you before I left.
Oh,
I couldn't get a word out. I made my way to my bedroom and I wept and wept. I said, Lord, when I finally got where I could talk, I said, Lord, thank you. It was the kind of riches I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 little bony arms around my neck, hugged my neck, gave me a kiss, said, Papa, I just wanted to kiss you and hug you before I left. And I thought, oh yeah, boy, you still give a foot in this one. I went in that bedroom like a little whipped pup.
Yeah.
And realized just how rich
right.
I was. Randy's talking about his grandkids.
Yeah.
Said he's teaching them right, trying to teach them about manners and stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's what we need to do, brother.
Amen.
This world's going to be fine, but we need to plant in their heart best we can.
That's right.
But the things that the world know nothing, they know nothing about.
That's right.
Oh my. There's treasures to lay up, lay them up in heaven. There's treasures to seek, and then there's treasures you can have.
That's right.
How rich are you?
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing, buddy. If you die in your sins, I don't care if you've got Warren Buffett's money. I don't care if you're richer than him or what's that other guy, Steve Gates, whatever his name is, look, if you die without Christ, you'll be poverty stricken.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
What little bit you thought you had be taken from you, and it'll be spread out to someone else, and they'll right. forget your name within 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
There's treasures you can have. You can have them now. But you got to go where they're at.
Right.
See, the world can't give you this kind of treasure. If the world gives you something, they're going to take it back.
Right.
I mean, if they do give you something, they want you to pay for it.
That's
if
right.
they do give you something, they're going to want it back.
That's right.
God freely gives. And if you need more, He'll give more.
Right.
He,
Amen.
He knows what we have need of.
That's right.
He knows how to supply our needs out of your riches
right.
and glory.
Amen.
But you answer this question, how rich are you? How rich are you today? God called you home today. Would you be ashamed? Well, I would. I can't deny that. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll be accepted.
That's right.
Not on my merits. The Bible says man his best states altogether vanity. Psalms 39. Verse 4, I ain't really got nothing to offer God. He offered something for me, paid a high dollar for me.
Yeah.
It ain't like I've got anything that I can put any value to me. He took an empty vessel, mm-hmm. put His treasure in it, gave it value. Oh, I might be ashamed, but I'll tell you one thing, I won't be denied. Mm-hmm. If you stand before Him and you hear these words right here, depart from me,
I never knew you.
You see, the foundation of God,
Amen.
Standing sure, Lord knoweth them that are His. Jesus said, He's the good shepherd, knows His sheep, knows them by name, calls them by name, they know His voice. If you hear those words, I never knew you, you'll realize just how poverty stricken
right.
you truly are.
Right.
I hope it's well with your soul. Don't blame old brother Eddie. If I rock your boat, I'll tell you right now, I ain't nobody. But if your boat got rocked, it was not me that did it.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach your word here today. And Lord, we know your word don't return void. We know, Lord, in many times, Lord, it's the heavenly manna that sustains us, gives us meat for the journey. We know many times, Lord, like the Sunday school teacher taught this morning, it reproves us. But also, Lord, it welcomes us to better things. Whatever, Lord, I don't know how the Word of God went to these. I know how it went to me. Whatever, I pray we'll be obedient in our heart to whatever beckoning, Lord, you would have. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand and get a brother Jerry there, or maybe Sharon. Get us an invitational hymn, please. You might not need to come.